Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, folks, I think we got everything almost together for you guys to start the presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks,
I think we got everything almost together for you guys to start the presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks,
I think we got everything almost together for you guys to start the presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks,
I think we got everything almost together for you guys to start the presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks,
I think we got everything almost together for you guys to start the presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks,
I think we got everything almost together for you guys to start presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks.
I think we got everything almost together for you guys. Presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks.
I think we got everything almost together for you guys. Presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks.
I think we got everything almost together for you guys. Presentation on income tax.
Okay, folks.
Then we got everything almost together for you guys.
He went away. All right, folks, we're going to make income taxes really easy for all of you. So easy, everybody can do it. Okay? Everybody can do it. Okay? Okay. Right. Okay. Let's see. I need the cameras to be a little bit higher. So show my hair a little bit more. A tad bit. Angle it up. A little bit more. That's good. A little bit less. A little bit less. Okay. A little bit lower. A little bit lower. That's good. That's good. That's perfect. Okay. Okay. Let's do it. Okay. Ready? One. You gonna put the timer in? I'm out of focus right now. He's getting me in focus. We're gonna get me in focus. Yeah, still out of focus, the camera. There we go. That's good. Okay. All right, let's do it. Hello, folks. I'm going to make income taxes really easy for you. I know it's a complicated subject to many people. The federal tax laws, the Internal Revenue Code, are this big, thick book made out of, 10,000 or so pages with tiny font in this tissue-thin paper, you know? But don't worry about all this minutiae. I'm going to make it real easy for all of you. I'm going to show you a little bit from the IRS's own website, just a little bit from the Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws, one little U.S. Treasury regulation, a little bit, and a couple of little Supreme Court quotes, you'll be home. I'm going to make it real easy to understand the Internal Revenue Code and income taxes, how much you have to pay or not, okay? Make it very easy for everybody. So first thing we're going to go is go to IRS's own website. See? Let's go to the IRS's 1040 U.S. individual income tax return. This is what have U.S. citizens are required to file. See, the word U.S. is because it is for U.S. citizens, right? Everybody knows about that. Well, let's go to the instructions for this 1040 form. Okay? And here it is, folks, the 1040 instructions. Okay, this is for your 2021. You go down to page, 8. It tells you on the filing requirements page, very simply, that these rules apply to all U.S. citizens. They live and resident aliens.
See, these are the key terms now we have to define. What does U.S. citizens mean, right? That's going to be critical. I'm going to show you what that is now from the Congress of the United States says. First, to go to find the law, we have to go to the, by the way, before we get to Congress, this is the U.S. Treasury regulation, okay, that has about normal taxes and surtaxes, determination of tax liability, tax on individuals. And it tells us in this Code of Federal Regulations, CFR 1.1-1, income tax on individuals, it tells us as a general rule, that Section 1 of the Code, the Internal Revenue Code, federal tax laws, imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. That's very simple, folks. That's the key term. What is United States citizen or resident, right? And to the extent provided by Section 871B or 877B, income of a non-resident alien individual. I'm going to get to that later on also, folks. But here's the law, folks. This is, as you can see on the top left, the website of U.S. House of Representatives. That's the seal on the top left, Office of the Law Revision Council of the United States Code. And it tells you right there, the United States Code is a consolidation and codification by subject matter of the general and permanent laws of the United States. It is prepared by the Office of the Law Revision Council of the United States House of Representatives, which basically is, these are the lawyers of the lawmakers. They put out this website officially as notice to everybody. Okay, and I want to make it easy for you folks, okay? There's 54 categories of federal law here, okay? Title I, Congress, 3 President, Title 26, folks, right here, is the Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws. I'm going to look up here. Here it is, Section 7701. See, this is, again, from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Chapter 79, definitions, which are key. And it tells us, 7701 definitions, when used in this title. What title? This title, folks. Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. Entire federal tax laws are right here in this whole book. It is a key definition. They define all kind of things like person defined, okay, corporation, many other terms that are so obvious they define them. But look, they have a very specific definition for the term United States. They tell you this is United States right here, U.S. individual income tax form. They tell you right here, this is all U.S. citizens have to file the form. Well, this is the definition of United States. The term United States, when used in a geographical sense, with geography, land mass numbers, includes only the states and the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C. And the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, again, Washington, D.C., where such construction or an understanding is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title. See? So here you have the District of Columbia plus state, which also equals the District of Columbia, and you get the same District of Columbia. So United States means District of Columbia. There you go, folks. The problem is really solved right here. I know it sounds amazing, unbelievable, but it really is true, folks. I'll prove it to you now with Supreme Court decisions momentarily, okay? So remember, so here we see the form, the 1040 income tax form. This is for Washington, D.C., individual income tax return. Instructions say these rules apply to all U.S. citizens, applies to all District of Columbia citizens, regardless of where they live, and resident aliens, right? So now, let's go to a couple more definitions before I go to what the Supreme Court says, okay? Here we go. Here's, a United States person defined. Again, Section 7701 that we came through down to 830 tells us United States person, and that's not useful. The term United States person means
a citizen or resident of the United States, which is a citizen or resident of District of Columbia. See, folks, you are not a United States person only for tax laws. See, you are a U.S. citizen. I am, okay, for nationality purposes, but for tax purposes, there's a special definition. I'm going to show you Supreme Court about that in just a minute. I'm going to give you a little bit more definitions first, okay? So here we go, and the term non-resident alien, folks, okay? See, in 7701B, definition of resident and non-resident alien, so if you go down, here it is, folks, it tells us that a non-resident alien, that an individual is a non-resident alien, if such individual is neither a citizen or resident of the United States, which means District of Columbia, nor a resident of the District of Columbia. See, folks, so basically, if you're not from the District of Columbia, you're from France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Egypt, or Florida, Texas, or California, any of the 50 states, you are a non-resident alien for the purposes of the Internal Revenue Code, for the purpose of the federal tax law. Not what you and I think, but what the law says, right? I'm going to go give you one more definition also before I go on, and that's the term trader business. Amazing definitions they have, folks, in the federal tax law. The term trade or business includes the performance of the functions of a public office. Oh, but that's a, not an Egyptian or France or California or Texas, but federal public. Yes, you are a small business owner. You are not a trader business. Only people who perform functions of the federal public office are trader business. Now, you might be thinking, Paymon, these definitions are non-exclusive. They obviously include. Trader business includes a small business owner, okay? A salesman, you know, someone on internet business. You're thinking probably, well, doesn't matter the definition of the United States, you're saying, because state obviously widely clearly includes the 50 states. Let me show you this, okay? I'm going to go on to, and I'm going to show you a minute to the Supreme Court on this issue, okay? But let's go look at this tax on non-resident alien individuals just a minute. You just see, remember, the CFR, Code of Federal Regulation 1.1-1, told us that that Section 1 of the Code imposed the income tax on, okay, who, to the extent provided on by Section 871, B at 877B on the income of a non-resident alien individual. That's you from Florida, Texas, California, New York. That's you, my friend. When do you have to file income tax? See? So if you're from D.C., you have to pay income tax. Resident or citizen of D.C., you have to pay income tax. But you may pay income tax if you're from the 50 states or anywhere in the world if you're performing functions of a public office, as you'll see in Section 871B or 877B, okay? So let's go to this section. This is Title 26 again, Internal Revenue Code, tax on non-resident alien individuals, right? So let's go down here in this section, 871B, okay? Here it is, income connected with the United States business. Graduated rate of tax. That's Washington, D.C. business graduated rate of tax, right? So here we go now. Imposition of tax. A non-resident alien individual, someone from Florida or Texas, not from D.C., engaged in a trader business, as engaged in performing functions of federal public office within the United States, within Washington, D.C. See? So someone from anywhere outside of D.C., who's involved in performing function of federal public office, right? Doing a taxable year, shall taxable as provided in Section 1 or 55 on his taxable income, which is effectively connected with the conduct of a, here you go again, greater business, functions of federal public office within the United States, which means
within Washington, D.C. See, folks, I know this sounds amazing to you, but folks, it's right there from government's own official legal website. And determination of taxable income, it tells you again, in determining taxable income for the purposes of paragraph one, which we just read, gross income includes only gross income, which is effectively connected of a trade or business, conduct of performing functions of federal public office within the United States, within D.C., yeah, performing functions of federal public office, folks. Remember, we got to go by decisions. Now here comes the Supreme Court decisions, and we'll tell you that. I promised you, here they are. Here is this U.S. Supreme Court of Stenberg versus Carhart. It's a June 28, 2000 Supreme Court. Let's go to the relevant part of this case that tells us this. When a statute or law includes an explicit definition, like the ones you've seen, we must follow that definition, even if it varies from that term's ordinary meaning. See, the ordinary meaning of the term trade or business doesn't matter. The ordinary meaning of the term United States or state doesn't matter. We must follow that definition, even if it varies from what you and I think. See? And they refer to another Supreme Court case that says it is axiomatic, which means self-evident, obvious, that the statutory definition of the term, something defined by law, excludes unstated meanings of that term. Something that's not specifically listed, okay, it's not there. It excludes unstated meanings of that term. So the term United States and state do not include the 50 states. It's not there. Okay? Now, on top of that, folks, here's a Supreme Court case of Gould versus Gould. It's a unanimous 1917 U.S. Supreme Court case, and here's what it says. In the interpretation or understanding of statute laws, levying or imposing taxes. So in understanding laws that impose taxes, it is established rule not to extend the provision. Do not extend the provision of tax laws by implication beyond clear import of the language used or to enlarge the operation as to embrace or include matters not specifically pointed out. In other words, if it's not specifically listed, said, it's not there. When it comes to tax laws, it's very strict, well-established rule. If it's not clearly shown that you owe the tax, you don't owe it, right? And in case of doubt, folks, here's what the Supreme Court says. In case of doubt, any doubt, folks, they, meaning the tax laws, are construed most strongly against the government and in favor of the citizen not being taxed. Not strongly, but most strongly you have to interpret the law against the government having the power to tax. So when you see here a 10-point tax form, as a United States citizen, U.S. citizen means D.C. does, because the law tells us. Here it is, right? United States means District of Columbia. State is also District of Columbia. You have to go by these laws, okay? Your trade or business does include only some of the performance functions of public office, okay? You know, I'm not just an alien. It's someone who is, you know, foreign to Washington, D.C., okay? All these definitions are critical that we have to go by them, okay? We have to go by these laws. That you see in all those laws. Now, you say, Paymon, I never knew that. That's pretty interesting. So tell me, why did that the federal government did it this way? Why did they not tax the people in the 50 states? Because they couldn't, folks. And over Washington, D.C., the federal government is supreme. They can do what they want, but not in the 50 states. The 50 states, the taxing powers are limited because America is not a country. There are 50 countries in a union. That's why the president gives every year a
a State of the Union address, not a State of the Country address or a State of the Union address. Every state in America is a country, like France, Japan, you know, and Germany and Italy, are within the European Union, part of that union, but they're all independent, sovereign, right? So that's why you see in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 1, here it is, the Constitution and .congress.gov, you see Article 1, Section 8, they say about the Washington, okay, and we're going to give, and they did eventually give Washington, D.C., these are the powers of the federal government listed in there, okay, and they gave the federal government independence to accept passive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, right, which became District of Columbia, as may be, okay, become the seat of the government of the United States. Okay? And to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying out into execution the foregoing powers, like in the seat of the government, okay, which became Washington, D.C. So the late the law, in even in 1913, over federal territories in Washington, D.C., way back then at that time. So the income tax, folks, is completely constitutional. It just does not apply to a lot of people. It applies to citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and federal workers. Okay? Now, federal workers, by the way, got flat at 1040 NR, but that's another topic we talk about. So when now you go back and look at these things, you see this 1040 form is only for, as the form tells you, for the U.S. citizens, which are Washington, D.C. citizens. Not now. I did more seminars on the Social Security taxes on our YouTube channel. I did this video. Do Social Security and Medicare taxes apply to your wages you pay your employees? This is a short version. There was also a long version of this, which was published on January 16, 2021. So this issue is covered there. Now, so basically what you see for yourself is this now. On our website at livefreenow.org, Freedom Law School, which I founded, folks, in 1996. Okay? And I have not filed income tax since 1993, for almost 30 years. Not $1. Now, I've been teaching Americans, you don't have to file income tax unless you're a citizen or a resident of D.C., or federal work, right? See, and you see, folks, all you're gonna do now, income tax made easy here, is to take 7 cents below to the free of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery now. And I just gave you an overview of step one, that based on U.S. government's official legal websites, no law requires 99% of Americans to file income tax. Who's that 1%? Well, as I said again, that's citizen and residents of D.C. and federal workers. They are the 1% that must pay income tax. Soldiers, FBI agents, IRS agents, your post office workers, they have to pay income tax. So once you start here, folks, the proof, folks, is in what you just saw in this 10-minute video right here below, and the other ones will come up. You can verify this in more detail for yourself on this topic. The step two you want to take, folks, is you're probably thinking that filing a 1040 income tax confession trap form is the safest, smartest way to keep the IRS from hurting you. That's what you were led to believe, right? Guess what? You were lied. The opposite is true. You hang yourself, like you see in this cartoon, when you fill out the 1040 income tax confession form under oath every year. And you can go to prison for 3 different crimes, 2 felonies, 1 misdemeanor, up to 9 years for every single 1040 that you file. On this page, you click on the cartoon, folks, you'll see more about this issue there to educate you why you don't want to fill out a 1040 form voluntarily if you don't have to. Step 3, it addresses the myth that people think that the IRS is the most powerful government agency, that at any time into your bank account and steal your money if you do not file a 1040 income tax prep. No, it's not true. IRS is based on deceiving you to file the 1040 income tax confession forms. This is per two former IRS commissioners that tell us. If you want to click on the cartoon right here, you'll learn more about it, because truthfully, the media is this Wizard of Oz. The media has been telling you lies for many, many, many decades that IRS is a powerful. File your taxes or else. See, they act on behalf of the IRS, work with the IRS. And you are, the American people, afraid of the big bad IRS. But they're not. It's just smoke and mirrors. That dog at the bottom, that's me, Freedom Law School. Curtains open. You can see behind IRS a bunch of lazy people, put you on hold, sleeping on the job, long coffee breaks, incompetent with 1960s computer technology on COBOL, similar language, folks. They are not the powerful thing they pretend they are. Look at a cartoon, you'll find out more about it. And folks, as I told you before, step four, I have not filed or paid any income taxes since 1993. Yep. And the IRS knows this fact very well. But the IRS has never attempted to indict or put me in prison for not having filed or paid any income tax for almost 30 years. Why? You see, when you equip yourself with knowledge, I prepared like I have been, the IRS is easier to beat. I've done so. So can you. See, bottom line is, folks, of the IRS. You see it right here, and the other one is the reality of IRS. It's not the powerful beast the media tells you. And I'll show you when you click on this video. IRS is this pure little weak thing, doesn't have fire like it pretends. It's a bluff. They're bluffing you, folks. And then step five, folks, we help you ask questions of and by sending petitions to U.S. Congress to lawfully and simply free yourself from the IRS deception and robbery slavery, folks. Very simple. If you show you the laws of file income tax, if your congressman can show you what this step is wrong, pay the income tax. We got petitions that you send to them, and you ask them humbly, I'll pay my fair share if you can show me I'm wrong, specifically and on point. Because all this is based upon the government's own official legal websites, right? They can't show them law to you, show you where you're wrong. You clearly shown not to owe the tax, not record a income tax. So don't. Keep your money. It's yours, my friend. And so click on this cartoon, and you'll see that for yourself, folks. And then from that, if you want, folks, I'll be there to behind you. What you want to do is to get our $70 million guarantee. Yep. You will be able to lawfully stop or never start filing and paying income tax with our Restore Freedom Plan. Yep. And with this, folks, Freedom Law School will keep the IRS from living your money by force, taking your money by force for 7 years. While Freedom Law School will reimburse you up to $1 million every year that you are a Freedom Law School member. This is unique. Nothing like this anybody has with Freedom Law School. You get, you know, this 7-year $1 million guarantee and be safe. This, folks, this program I've done is in 20 years old. Over 20 years I've done this. This is not new. Okay? And, of course, the next thing you want to do, step 7, is to tell other people about the limits of IRS's power, okay? And you can get paid up to $5,000 for each American you free with the Freedom Opportunity Plan. Okay, folks, there's a chance for you to free not only yourself, but also free America, folks. Do the right thing, loving thing. Educate yourself first. Continue on your path. Study this material. If you've watched this so far, continue on this path. Go to our website at livefreenow.org. For yourself, and tell your spouse, children, parents, siblings, family members, co-workers, friends, and give them a chance to be free by knowing the truth that was hidden from the eyes, okay, of the IRS and the corrupt mainstream media.
So you can live in prosperity. Live and let live world. And so can everybody else, every American. We can have America be a free country again, where they represent us by and for the people. Okay, you don't have to fund the swamp. You can defund the swamp. Okay? Follow the law as published on government's own legal website. With that, I invite you to continue your journey that you are destined to get here and continue and live free from here on forward. The clock didn't go on. How much time do we spend? Forty minutes, okay. Now let's go to people's questions, folks, that we have, folks. As you know, every Thursday night, I answer your questions. By the way, for those of you who are interested, we have these beautiful brochures, this little trifold, okay, that has all the seven steps that I showed you. See right there? Yep, all of them. It's all in the brochure, handout brochure, okay? We mail them to you at no charge, okay? See that? You share the passage to your friends. Step one is right there. No law requires 99% of Americans to file income tax, right? Every step is there. And that gets them to go to get to our website. Everything is on the website. All the presentations, videos, language is there. This is a tool to get them to the website and educate themselves. Okay, so we send you as many as you want to pass out to people. Just call us. Put our number at 813-444-4800. Okay? Now let's go to people with questions. Let me have... Okay. We have only one car. Very good. 917. Okay.
Hello.
All right, my friend.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. I heard you. What is your first name? How you heard about us?
Hello.
And then your
question,
hello. Please. Yes.
Hello.
Speak, please. What's your name?
Hello.
Ma'am? Yes. Do you hear us? We hear you fine. You don't hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. You have a sound problem. Looks like you cannot hear us.
Yeah, I have a sound problem.
Okay. Go ahead and reconnect. You might be able to solve your sound problem, okay? We get your question answered momentarily. Call again. That hopefully will fix
okay.
the problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else have this? But you're welcome, ma'am. Sorry about that. That you heard me right now. Okay. Call for America 815. You are live.
Hi, Peyton.
Right.
Hello there.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Great. What's your first name? How you heard about us?
Mark.
And then your question, please. Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Hi,
and, I've been reading your, been reading your material for a while now. And I don't often get a chance to catch on Thursdays, but tonight I did. I made it a point because I had this question. But first of all, I wanted to, be thankful that you're doing what you're doing, because I can tell you that kind of confirmed what I've been studying for years. I haven't done this since 96, I guess it's been since I've filed. But my question was, the letters that you're supposed to send to your representatives, I know that one of the reasons why we do that is to support us as needing to bring in up questions and being able to enter those types of things into a possible court situation if that were to occur. And my question is, if I were to do that now, which, I've been thinking of it, putting those together and sending them off to the representatives as you instruct in your website. My question is that, will those work retroactive to, I guess they're saying, I don't know how far back they go, but how far retroactive to those, are those letters effective for, that you can actually have them put into the record if there was a court action, if I'm making myself clear.
From the time you mail those petitions in, they're effective at that time. So you want to do them as soon as possible.
So they're not good going.
They're not good for going.
So they're no good going backwards then, is what you're saying.
Hold on. It's not a black and white. It's not that they're no good or good. It's not a black and white issue. It's not a quite a black and white issue you like it to be, because it depends on how things go end up being. But they're the best, safest, most powerful from the moment you send them in. That's best. Because at that time, that
sure.
was your understanding of the law. And you can guarantee you have to get it before a jury in case necessary. But other ways, it might be able to keep it from the eyes of the jury, okay, for the older years. So you do it the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm. Are there ways to handle it if something were to occur, you know, but say you didn't, you might, you know, you had them in maybe for a couple of years, but then they're going back, say, 5 or 6 years. Are there other ways to, you know, skin a cat in this case?
You asked me a question that's vague. Without knowing specifics of what you have in mind, I cannot give you a clear answer. I need to see what you're talking about, your situation, analyze that, and be able to address your question correctly. Otherwise, I'd be guessing. I don't want to guess.
Well, I don't have a problem yet, but I was just kind
of... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem yet. I was just kind of wondering if, you know, since I don't have a problem, I guess there's no way to know. So, I don't know. I guess that question's not answerable, then, it sounds like.
Not 100% guaranteed every situation.
Okay. Okay. Well, that was it. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome, Mark. Thank you for your question. Mark, remember, Mark, what do you do for a living, by the way? Mark, what you want to do is to call, tell other people about this. You've been at it for since 1996. Tell other people, my friend. Don't give up. Keep telling other people about us. Let's go to the lady from area code 917. Is she back? Okay, let's try again. All right, ma'am. What is your first name? I heard about us. And then your question, please.
I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello.
What's your first name?
Oh, hi. I have a question because, you know,
what's
I have...
what I call
Oh, my
you?
Name is Gabriela. Gabriela.
And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I was watching Peters, and other of those programs in Rumble.
Very good. And how may help
I have a question. Yes, I have a question because, you know, I own real estate, and this is the first time ever that I'm not paying. I didn't file. And I'm just wondering, is it a good idea to have the apartments, or is it better to sell them? Because I don't want them to get, because I have to pay real estate taxes, and I cannot deduct anything anymore because I'm not filing. So my question is it better to have to sell the apartments, or is it is okay to keep them?
Keep it if you want to. There's no requirement for you to sell it. Just keep it. Why should you have to sell it?
Because the rent, I'm not gonna deduct the rent money anymore. I'm not gonna let them know that I'm paying the money, they're getting the rent money, because I'm not filing anymore. I'm done. Thanks to you, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your service and trying to help us.
Gabriela, you deduct to lower your taxes, right?
Yes.
Now, zeroed out. There's no need to deduct anything because your taxes are reduced to zero. You want to lower it with deduction. You lower it only. But here, you never owe it at all. It's zero. So just get the income coming to you, the rentals. Why give the rental income up? You don't need to do that. Keep it.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep the money. I'm not going to deduct anything because I can't, because I'm not filing, right?
Right. There's no need. You declare your income falsely as being taxable, and then you get a deduction on it. You don't, this whole income you don't never had in the first place wasn't taxable. This income is not taxable at all. You have to have a deduction against to lower it.
Yeah, that's what the accountant was doing. That he said, "Oh, we're gonna deduct the maintenance and this and the fixing and this." But then at the end, I was still paying, and now I'm not gonna file, so I don't need to deduct anything, and then I'm gonna keep my money. But do you think that works well, or it's gonna?
Well, yeah, that, you don't need to file or pay at all, Gabriela. That's why you look at my screen. I created 7 steps.
Okay.
Okay. Step 6 is what? You don't file. You lawfully stop on and pay income tax with our Restore Freedom Plan. And Freedom Law School will keep the IRS from levying your money for 7 years. The accountant, does he give you a 7-year guarantee or not?
Yes.
He gives you 0 guarantee.
Yes, right? His guarantee is for 7 years. Good.
No. Your accountant, what kind of guarantee does he give you?
Oh, the accountant, no. The accountant was charging $1,000 for the filing, and then they don't really guarantee anything. If I have a problem, they come with me, and that happened already. That happened once.
Yeah.
And I was so afraid, and he told me, go ahead, babe, you have to pay. There is no choice now. There is a terrible situation with the IRS on you.
They just keep you as a customer to give them money. That's what it is. I'm going to get the hook.
Okay.
No,
okay.
You don't need that. You're going to fire this accountant.
Yeah, they just want the money.
They just want the money. And by keeping it fair to the IRS, they make money off of your fear.
Yes. And then I'm telling all my friends about you, but they're So, in conclusion, I can keep my apartment, not paying the IRA, and I can not deduct anything, but I can keep all my rent money, right?
Don't fill out any, that's right. You don't fill out any of those forms anymore. Those forms are confession forms. You claim you have taxable income, but your income was not taxable to begin with, Gabriela. To deduct
I know.
It.
Thank you. Okay. All right. But they won't
all
come
right.
to me and try to. But I'm paying the tax. One question: I pay the real estate taxes because I don't want problems. But I pay the real estate taxes, but I'm not paying income tax from the money of the rent. That's all I'm doing. Is it that correct?
Correct. Property
okay.
tax is lawful by the state, the country that you live in. Okay. Federal income tax does not apply to you at all. Any more than tax from Egypt or Japan or France.
All right.
Okay, very good. Good
Thank
question.
Thank you so
remember,
much
folks,
for answering my question. You're the best.
Remember what you want to do, Gabriela, call Freedom Law School. Go through the 7 steps, okay? You said you're telling other people about us? Well, guess what? You know, you can get paid for telling other people about us 5,000 speech referrals. Up to that much right now. But get with us first. And get
okay,
the
perfect.
70
yes.
you want.
Okay,
first.
Perfect. Yes.
So call us. My activist on the phone will guide you through. Okay?
Okay, perfect. Okay,
perfect.
Thank you so much. God bless
thank
you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Gabriela.
Okay,
you have any
bye
more
bye.
Callers?
Okay, bye-bye.
817 area code, my friend. All right. What is your first name? How you hear about us? And then your question, please.
Hi, Paymon. This is Kevin.
Kevin Holiday.
I've actually known about you guys for 10 years, but I've actually
During my journey,
it came to running the knowledge.
I happened to come across
that
I've never heard you mention this.
I know you mentioned the Pollock case back in 1894 when it was enacted. When it was disputed in 95. But I found during my research, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but in June 16, 1909, President Taft actually came out in discussing that case. And I had found that in the court record, the congressional record, that he stated, says, therefore, I recommend to Congress that both houses, by a two-thirds majority vote, shall propose an amendment to the Constitution conferring the power to levy an income tax upon the national government, explicitly stating where it's been located at all this time. So I wasn't sure if you're aware of that. I just wanted to bring that to y'all's attention.
Yes, I'm very much aware of that. And
okay.
Very much. I read that exactly for a copy of that, what you say. But it doesn't change it at all, okay? Bottom line is that that whole thing was a deception. Was a ruse to get people distracted from the tax was written to apply only to Washington, D.C. and territories. Like if you look at my screen, you want to watch the video. I just did this recently, July 1st. Is the U.S. federal income tax constitutional? And here what I do in this video, I show you the law. I address the Pollock case briefly and these other Supreme Court cases like Bushaber, Stanton cases, as you know about. I show about direct taxes which were done in late 1700, early 1800s, okay? And then what I do is I show you the law in this video. This is made for people like you. This is in 1913, the first income tax, where it says every citizen of the United States must pay income tax. You see that highlight area? Every citizen of the United States, all sorts, okay? When you look at the definition of the United States, there it is.
Yeah.
The word state of the United States, when used in this section, shall be construed to include any territory. Alaska.
I know.
The District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Philippine Islands, with such construction as necessary, with the artist's provisions. So they play this monkey dance, dog and pony show to distract you, thinking that they got themselves power to tax within 50 states, but they never had the power at all because they did not do the tax, income taxes apportion among the states like they were supposed to. The rule that applied to D.C. only.
Exactly, and that's what I'm working to convey to my own employer. I've actually gotten them to stop withholding, and also I'm working on conveying to them Social Security to stop that as well.
How come you got through law school earlier, Kevin? How come you haven't joined the Restore Freedom Plan? We have scholarships to lower the price. Everybody can afford it. That you come out ahead, you save money, you know, to make sure everything's done right for you. So what's kept you from joining the Restore Freedom Plan, my friend?
It's been very tight when it comes to money, even with the scholarship that you offer.
Let me ask you, is $1,000 a year too much for you, less than $100 a month? Is that too much for you?
It's still very, very tight for me. I'm still trying to work out.
I want to help you win. I want you to come out ahead. What do you do for a living? How much you make an hour or monthly? How many hours a week do you work?
So I work, I bring in probably, with the taxes not coming out anymore, I'm bringing in probably around 37,000, now getting back up there because I just started back to work after going through some medical bills, going through some medical issues. And so things are really tight when it comes to getting, these bills caught back up, So until that happens, I'm thinking probably in about 2 months I should be back on track.
jump in and jump on board with you guys.
Okay. Now, you're making, you just got a job recently making $37,000 a year?
No. About $37,000 a year. No, but it's actually been a job I've had for about 2 years. I was on medical leave for about 6 months. And so I'm just now getting back into getting myself back to work.
So you live in the Fort Worth area?
Yeah.
Right? And you're making only about maybe $17, $18 an hour in a big city. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ain't paid enough. You're worth more than better paying jobs out there. Yeah, I was passing through Macon, Georgia, and that is nowhere, small town, convenience center, was hiring people from 18 to 30 bucks an hour. Okay? Call if you're lost for tomorrow. We can help you out, my friend, okay? You're not getting paid enough. Okay? That's your problem. We need to fix your lack of moneyitis disease first before you can be free. You're not getting paid what you're worth. You're such a smart man. You know about these court cases. You know about congressional research. Why are you making so little when you're obviously intelligent?
I appreciate the vote of confidence.
To know this historical stuff, like you could be a legal researcher, for all I can tell. You know, to know about that, those things, it's pretty good. So you're not getting
enjoy the research. I enjoy jumping into that. It's something I've kind of always done. Once I dive into a specific area, I go head first into it. So.
Okay. Well, all right, my friend. Well, call us tomorrow, and we'll assist you, my friend. You know, there's just no way in a big city that living costs more. You get paid so little. That's not right. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 36.
In the prime of your life, only 36 an hour. No, you're getting abused. Okay, you should be with much intelligence you got. You should get paid more than that. Okay, call tomorrow. And, you know, somebody will after your law school will help you. You can make a better job than here. Yes, there's a money order place I saw several months. You have jobs on the window for $15 an hour, big on the front door, in a country, small country of Brooksville. Jobs not filled. $15 an hour on the front door, big number. Can't get people.
Yeah.
They got paid more. With more experience, you get paid more. You should be making, you know, $20 an hour or more. Right? So, anyhow, that's my suggestion. Call us. I'll be happy to help you. I won't be here, but somebody will help you with that, okay?
Sounds great. I look forward to the call.
All right. My pleasure, my friend. Do you have any more calls with questions, guys? That's it. All right. Well, folks, should I do maybe a bit short video about this one? I probably should. I should do a short video on this one. This doesn't even want to do a short on this one. This guy, an important one. And my voice is not very good tonight, but I'll do my best anyways. Okay, I'm going to cut some of these the slides out, make them really short, okay, and just get to the heart of the matter. Okay, that's what I got to do on this thing. Okay, yeah, I think I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, folks, I want to record a short video because it is YouTube. But, oh, by the way, I'll be speaking at the Red Pill Expo of this weekend, Saturday, the two-day event, Saturday, Sunday. Here it is, Red Pill Expo in Indianapolis, Indiana, okay, July 9th and 10th. So this is the place you want to be in person if you can. You meet me and a lot of other great speakers that you want to hear from and meet in person. If you cannot come in person, that's okay. You can do it on. This is Geodra Griffin, the one that hosts the whole thing, okay? And these are the pictures of the speakers that you'll be hearing from, okay? There's quite a bit of them, folks, okay? We got over 60,
15 great freedom speakers, truth freedom speakers you want to meet in person. If you cannot make it, online is very cheap. I think like maybe $50 to watch the whole thing online. RedPillExpo.org. RedPillExpo.org is the website. So with that, let's go now to short presentation about this. Okay. It is almost all ready. Okay. All right, let's get the clock going this time because it didn't go that last time. They push the button. Okay? Let's do 1, 2, 3. Push the button. If it doesn't go, I will let you guys know it didn't go. The clock didn't start. Well, let me get some water first. It's not going yet. Stop it again, start again. It didn't do it last time. Now it's a 0 dot. Where you can start a video at the same time, okay? Well, folks, income taxes are made easy for you in this presentation. I want to make it real simple for you that any dummy can understand. It's based upon IRS's website, U.S. House of Representatives, the lawmakers, one U.S. Treasury regulation, and a couple. Let's start again. Yep. Okay. I closed one thing. I'm going to open it up again. I got to open up this one thing. I shouldn't have closed one of those. Here we go. I think I got it right here. Yep. 1.1-1. I closed 1.1-1, and I need to, make that bigger. That's the one that matters. Give me just a few more seconds, folks, because I got to get this thing perfect for everybody. Real nice. Okay, here we go. We're almost there. Just one more time. There we go. One more time, I think. Enlarge it. Yeah, oh, yeah, almost perfect. Yep. Okay, here we go. I think I have it just perfect here for you guys. Yep. Okay. All right, hold on. Let me take a little water and start again briefly. The clock didn't go. Income taxes made easy, folks. I'm Paymon Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. I'm going to make income taxes real easy for you. Any dummy can understand. I got the federal tax law, Internal Revenue Code, really made easy. Just reference to only one section of it that is relevant. A couple of Supreme Court cases, one U.S. regulation of the Treasury. Easy. So hang in there and see it for yourself. Real piece of cake. Okay. We're going to start right here. IRS's own website. The 1040 U.S. Individual Income Tax Return 2021. The key here is the term U.S. Who is the U.S. individual? Well, let's go to the instructions of the 1044 from IRS's website. And on page 8, it tells you about 5 requirements that these rules are citizens, regardless of where they live, right? So are you a U.S. citizen? Let's see what the U.S. means. Well, but before we go on, about determination of tax liability on individuals, the United States Treasury in CFR 1.1-1, Code of Federal Regulations, says that Section 1 of the Code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. But who is a citizen or resident of the United States? Why is the United States? Well, the United States is here. This is Internal Revenue Code, Section 7701, definitions, okay? Folks, this is a law as published by the U.S. House of Representatives that tells us when used in this title, what title are you talking about? Here, folks, Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws, right? To define the term United States for you, very simply. The term United States, when used in the geographical sense, includes only the states and the District of Columbia. And the term state, now they're construed to include also the District of Columbia. So you have District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., plus District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., you get the same. You get, again, the District of Columbia. So United States means only the District of Columbia. And to prove that to you, you see U.S. Supreme Court, in this case, the Stemmerich versus Carhart, tells us in his 2000 case that relevant language of this case tells us right here. When a statute I just read for you includes an explicit definition, we must follow that definition, like the one we just read, even if it varies from that term or their meaning. You have to go by the definition you saw about the United States, okay? It is axiomatic, self-evident, or obvious that the statutory definition of the term excludes unstated meanings of that term. Something's not stated, it's not there. It's that simple. And the word, the 50 states are not listed here at all. 50 states are not there. That's what the U.S. Supreme Court tells us. And this other Supreme Court case of Gould versus Gould in 1917 case, also unanimous tax case, tells us this, that the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, imposing or levying taxes, it is established rule not to extend their provisions by implication beyond their import of the language used. That's right. Or to enlarge the operation of the tax laws so as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. It is not there. It's not there. 50 states are not included here in the definition of the term United States. You cannot read into it, but it's not there. It's only District of Columbia, as you see here clearly. And in case of doubt, folks, Supreme Court tells you that they, the tax laws, are construed most strongly against the government power to tax and in favor of the citizen being tax-free. So bottom line is, folks, you are not required to file income tax unless you are a U.S. citizen and resident, and also, by the way, a federal worker. Okay? Now, for more detailed information, you want to go to our website at livefreedom.org, okay? livefreedom.org, or you can go to the description below and see the full version of this video, 40 minutes long. I'll give you more details. So go to livefreedom.org or go to the description below and click on the full presentation to know you are income tax free from now on, because now you know the truth. Okay. All done. Do you have no more people with questions? One more time. Okay, everybody. Thank you for your love and support for your law school. I appreciate every one of you. And I invite you to continue on the search for truth and freedom and tell others you love and you love them by sharing your truth with them, by introducing them and by showing them our website, livefreenow.org.